If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Journal Sentinel Bucks Podcast. I'm Matt Velasquez, and for one rare time, Charles Gardner and I are podcasting together from the Journal Sentinel office.
In the studio. Boy, this is new. This is very exciting. Instead of being on one coast or the other, I remember when you were in New York, I was in Portland. This is the exact opposite podcast.
Yeah, we are like as close as we could possibly be, jammed in the studio, which is fun.
Good to see you, man.
Yeah, good to see you. And we're recording this on Friday, February 19th, right before the Bucks take on the Charlotte Hornets. So this might be a little bit of an abbreviated podcast because we have to get over to the Bradley Center to cover the game. You know, so Charles, has the All-Star break been good to you?
It's been great. I got a little time off. Of course, I got sick, but we won't go into that. But I didn't get too sick. But my wife says that is totally predictable when the All-Star break hits or when I get a little break in the travel schedule. But, hey, I'm feeling a lot better today, and I'm ready for these last 28
your
games.
Your body doesn't do well with rest.
Apparently not.
You have to just keep swimming like a shark. You know, so, well, considering, you know, the All-Star break, you know, the Bucks were involved to a small extent. Jabari Parker, he played well in the Rising Stars game, made some highlight plays and saw a few of those out there.
Yeah, he looked very good.
You know, Mark Lazary playing the celebrity game, acquitted himself well. I think he represented the team okay. And Chris Middleton didn't last very long in the three-point.
No, I saw just a few takes of Chris's three-point contest. And, of course, Splash Brothers duel at the end, so I'm sure that's what everybody wanted to see in the NBA. And Klay Thompson proving President Obama correct, apparently, in that President Obama famously saying at the White House he had the better-looking shot than Steph Curry, and Steph giving the president the evil eye. But whatever, Klay Thompson has the bragging rights, at least for this year.
Yeah, well, I don't know how much those bragging rights, you know, will be important outside of Golden State because everyone else is talking about the dunk contest.
Right.
I mean, Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon put on a
Aaron
heck
Gordon,
of a show.
A great show, yeah.
And that was fun. And, you know, so we watched that. We kept track of that. You know, we saw the Bucks. But the most important thing now is that on everybody's minds is the trade deadline. You know, that just passed yesterday, and it was quiet.
It was a quiet one, and that's a little bit of a surprise for the Bucks. John Hammond is known for making some deals at the deadline. We think about John Salmons, who helped the Bucks make that great run in 2010 that he basically stole him from the Bulls. And yeah. Then you can also think of the 2013 where it went the other way. And the J.J. Redick, everybody knows that. Tobias Harris went to Orlando. And strangely enough, Tobias was traded at the deadline
again
this year. This time going to Stan Van Gundy and the Detroit Pistons. So we're going to see how that works out. That'll be very interesting. And, of course, being traded for two former Bucks. So I can't say there weren't Bucks being traded at the deadline.
That's
just
true.
Weren't current Bucks that were being traded. But I don't think it's a huge surprise, Matt. You know, Jason Kidd and Hammond in the last few weeks have been saying we're going to stick with our young core. And if we were believing them, you know, they did that. They hung on to the young core. They didn't make a big move. And so they're going to give these guys a chance to play together. Jason Kidd came out fairly strongly last week and said, look, we're going to let them play together. We still are evaluating. We got to see Jabari with Giannis. We got to see these guys together. Michael Carter-Williams. You know, Michael Carter-Williams, there's a lot of talk about him at point guard. Do they need to make a change? I understand the Bucks did have some discussions about point guards during the deadline. And there was talk about Ricky Rubio. He's got a big contract. The one thing I think the Bucks are reluctant to take on a lot of money. you know, they're not in a position where do they want to trade for a contract. You look at Rubio's contract, you know, he signed 4 years, $56 million. There's 3 years left on that. So you're taking on a lot of money if you make one of these trades. So I think, you know, it's going to be something interesting to see. But I think they're still evaluating. And you got to remember that MCW is on his rookie deal. So right now he is not costing the Bucks a lot of money. He's giving them a lot of value for what he's doing right now. Now, the decision is, do you want to extend him? Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be coming up for an extension that could be big dollars.
Very big.
So I'm sure that's a priority. So, you know, there will be decisions to be made. But I think this just delayed some decisions to be made. I think it also was the Bucks saying, we're going to take a look at these guys over these last 28 games and see how they do. They've had some time to play together now. Now's a fair evaluation, you would have to say.
Yeah, and the whole point with not making a trade and not taking on money is, one, you don't want to take on money in a season where you're not likely to make the playoffs. They still think the playoffs are a goal that they can chase and aspire to, but considering the way the Eastern Conference is right now and the situation that they're in heading into these last 28 games, the probabilities aren't in their favor. So you don't want to take on money for even the last 28 games or for a season and a half or whatever it ends up being. You also want to leave yourself open for free agency this summer because, you know, as everyone knows, the salary cap is going up this coming summer and it'll go up again the next summer. So you want to have as much money pooled as you can so that you can be a player in free agency instead of linking yourself and, you know, anchoring yourself to a player who, if they don't pan out, then you're almost doubly hurt because they hurt your team in the short term and then they hurt you again by not allowing you to test free agency and see which guys come out and who you can get out of the pool of available players. And so when you have young guys on rookie deals, you're in the driver's seat. You, if they decide to go to free agency, you know, a lot of those guys, they'll be restricted.
Right.
And then you can decide, hey, if we really want this guy, we pay him what, you know, we pay him the max and then we're good, or we pay him whatever we think we can, and other teams would have to then, you know, make other offers.
The bottom line on MCW is the Bucks control his contract next season.
Mm-hmm. He has that'll be his fourth year.
That'll be his fourth year. So yeah, that's still under the rookie deal. So they control that. Now, if he doesn't get an extension, you know, this is what we went through with Brandon Knight. Didn't get an extension, then he was traded at the deadline.
You want to get some value back for him if you don't think you're going to resign.
Got some value. So that might be at next year's trade deadline. You know, given Greg Monroe's contract, he has a player option for not next year but the following year. So again, maybe there would be more activity around him next year depending on how things are going. Or, you know, if it all works out, maybe, you know, the Bucks are hoping to sign him to a longer-term deal. So we'll see what happens there. So it wasn't all that surprising in the end. You have three guards on the roster that are expiring contracts, and they've worked out in different ways this year. Grievous Vasquez, you know, total disappointment, but also an injury. And, you know, my sources say the disappointment is in large part due to the injury. You know, it's hard to tell sometimes because he didn't play well early in the season, but he was struggling with this injury apparently, had the surgery. So, but his contract's expiring. Seeing him back with the Bucks would be a long shot, you would think.
Yeah, I would think so.
Then you have Jared Bayless, who's played very well this season. Kid trusts him. Now he has a new injury and may not be playing tonight against Charlotte.
Steve Clifford, I don't think he expects him to play.
No, I don't think he will be playing.
Shoot around this morning, he mentioned, oh, yeah, with Bayless out, that changes their team.
Right, right.
So I don't think he expects to see Bayless.
No, he had an MRI yesterday, and we'll find out tonight a little bit more about that. But he's a guy who has played well, but again, his contract's expiring. I think it's about $3.6 million, and then O.J. Mayo at $8 million expiring. So that is a pool of money that the Bucks would have to use on free agents, and that's often the way it works.
And getting back to your point on MCW, he's been on the Bucks for a year. You know, and there were times where he looked like a player who could be part of their future, you know, plans. I mean, you think about the some of those games in the Chicago playoff series.
Correct.
He was very, very good for them, and right. and he looked like a guy, okay, if he can play like this every night, well, the problem is he doesn't play like that every night.
Consistent.
You know, and so when you get peak MCW doing good things, you say, of course, no question, why wouldn't a team want this guy?
Right.
And then when you get him kind of on the other end of the spectrum, you're like, oh, my gosh, they traded for this guy? Right. And so, you know, and
it's been both things.
And there's right. not a ton of in between.
No.
He tends to be kind of a spectrum.
Bad MCW and good MCW.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in between. But we will see what happens with that and how he reacts. We know he doesn't like coming off the bench. But we'll see if Coach Kidd's lineup change lasts much longer. He told me in practice on Thursday that he would stick with that lineup. And that he used in the two games before the break that had Monroe and MCW off the bench. But I think that's partly win, baby, and stick with it.
Yeah.
So after the first loss, whenever that may be tonight or later on this weekend or whenever, then we'll see what he does.
And when you talk to Monroe, I mean, I think all he really cares about is getting those wins. I mean, and his minutes aren't really changing.
No,
he's just not starting, but he plays at the end.
Right.
A lot really hasn't changed.
No, a lot hasn't changed in this lineup shuffle. But it, again, also goes back to how bad the bench has been, and Kidd basically admitted that, saying, look, we had to do something to shake up the bench, and he joked about saying now we have one of the best benches in the league.
Sure.
But he did it to try to get the mix different because things weren't working during that five-game losing streak.
And before we ditch the trade deadline talk, we have to mention, because everybody is talking about the supposed interest the Bucks had in Dwight Howard. Mark Stein reported that there was talk between the two teams that fell apart because Dwight Howard wouldn't opt into the second year of his contract. Have you heard anything about this, Charles?
I have heard a little bit about this, and basically I think there were discussions with a lot of teams about Dwight Howard, and the Bucks were among them. But Houston, you have to remember, Houston was making all these calls, I believe. And Mark Stein reported that Houston was aggressively calling teams. There's the key word right there. Houston was aggressively
sure.
calling teams. Now, it doesn't mean that the Bucks or some other teams might not have bandied something around. I'm not privy to those conversations. But I do know that it was just a non-starter as Dwight Howard would be here. He was not willing to give up that year in free agency or becoming a free agent at the end of this year.
Right.
And the fact that he was making $23 million. And we were talking about salaries, so you get my drift. I mean, $23 million. Houston apparently wanted a first-round pick and a major player. Houston was calling around on Dwight Howard, covering their bases, it sounds like to me. I don't know how serious. My sources indicate it was not a serious
discussion. It seems that wouldn't be really sensible for the Bucks to engage in a serious conversation for a guy like Dwight Howard, even if he opted into the second year of his contract, because then they'd be tying down, you know, that $23 million. They'd have to give up something for a guy.
And this is a player on the decline, by the way.
Yeah, and what does he bring you?
He's 30 years old and he's on the decline. So that's what I have to say about that.
Obviously, he's got superstar level talent, or he did, and he has the capability. We look at last year in the playoffs when he was just one of the most dominant players in the league. But, you know, that's not.
And he's having a good season. I know he's doing better. He's having a pretty good season. There's obviously a lot of strife and friction between Harden and Dwight Howard, and that probably added to this whole trade scenario.
You know, it doesn't really bring anything to the Bucks, though. I mean, in terms of a team that is building for future success, yeah. He does not seem like a piece.
And he wouldn't want to be here.
Yeah, and
bottom line.
It doesn't surprise me that the Bucks,
you know, he
likely
wouldn't
didn't
be
have
here.
As much interest as the Rockets would have in that scenario, because there's so much more upside for the Rockets than there would be for the Bucks. That's kind of what I would come away from.
Yeah, I think if teams were asking about Parker or Giannis or anybody else, they got a firm no on that.
And I mean,
I mean, you would have to think. I don't believe that there would have been another answer about that.
Yeah, so that's kind of the quick and dirty trade deadline recap. You know, Bucks didn't do anything. And
so see you in the summer, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
right?
We'll have to look forward to free agency and the draft and see how all that shakes out. There's pieces. You know, there's, you know, a plan to move forward and build on the young core that they have and guys locked into contracts. And then they go from there. It doesn't mean that there won't be any trades this summer or any free moves this summer, but right now they're standing pat.
No. Chris Middleton, you know, he's the guy with the best contract. He's got the 5 years, $70 million. He's here.
Yeah.
And you know, then they're you're talking about Giannis with the extension. You're talking about there are a lot of other parts then that we'll see what happens with in the summer.
Yeah, and so now moving forward from the trade deadline, over the first two out of the first three games, first two home games coming out of the All-Star break, you know, a lot of the attention is going to be on opposing players making visits to the Bradley Center. Yeah,
I guess it will be. The K's, we got Kaminsky and Kobe coming up in these next two home games. The Bucks will have a game in Atlanta on Saturday, a quick turnaround, then back here Monday against the Lakers. But I know Frank Kaminsky... first trip, official trip, I guess, back to Wisconsin and I'm sure he's going to get a great ovation from the crowd on Friday at the Bradley Center. And then, of course, Monday night, Kobe Bryant and his last appearance. I'm sure that's going to be the biggest Monday night crowd the Bucks have had in maybe ever.
Who knows? I don't see why that wouldn't be a sellout.
And he'll be playing with the Lakers here, and certainly there'll be some tributes to him, I'm sure, on Monday. And yeah, so I think it's going to be fun. We're going to see how the Bucks play in these games as well. They got some games they can win and kind of keep that positive momentum that they had before the break. I'll be real interested to see how they come back out of the break. They were playing very well before that. Obviously, you talked with Frank Kaminsky this morning. You were at Shoot Around, and what was the reception? And what Matt, give us a little bit of the lowdown on. He's obviously having a very good season.
Yeah, playing 20-plus minutes a game.
He's in the rotation.
Yeah, he's in there, and he's been getting more minutes. You know, the head coach Steve Clifford, he mentioned that maybe fatigue got him a little bit when you're playing basketball. You know, as a full time job and. You're playing more games, back-to-backs, all that stuff.
Rookie wall.
Yep, he hit that rookie wall. But he said he's bounced back a little bit, and he's starting to play better of late. You know, as you might expect with a player of the stature of Frank Kaminsky coming back to the state of Wisconsin, there were a lot of media there at Shoot Around this morning. I'm guessing Bucks Shoot Around was probably empty, you know, and then just, you know, everybody was at Hornets Shoot Around because the Bucks have had availabilities and such during the week, yeah. You know, so lots of folks from Madison and all around Milwaukee came out, and you know, Frank was typical Frank. You know, he was affable and you know, fun to talk to, and you know, but it was a quick couple minute chat. He mentioned that you know this is his first time, or only just his second time coming back to Wisconsin since being drafted. The first time was just to see a few friends before he left for Charlotte, and then the second time is now.
Yes, today.
And so when he got into his hotel, I guess his family had left him like a little bit of a, you know, care package of you know, sausage and pretzels and cheese, and you know, so he got right back into the Wisconsin spirit. Though he mentioned that when you're away from Wisconsin, everybody says, "Oh yeah, Wisconsin beer and cheese and beer and cheese." And he's like, "That's not what Wisconsin's all about. Not Wisconsin, in my experience, is not only beer and cheese."
Right, right.
You know, so he got into that a little bit, and you know, said that overall he's progressing well and fitting in well in the NBA, and he likes where he's at and all that stuff. That there'll be plenty of people from Madison. He maxed out his ticket requests.
Okay.
And lots of former teammates and such in the stands tonight. So it'll be an interesting crowd. Definitely a good reception for him.
Well, he's that proverbial stretch four that so many general managers in the NBA are enamored with, and owners, and Michael Jordan Yeah, being the right. owner of the Charlotte Hornets is one of them. And, of course, Michael was very forthright in saying one thing he liked about Frank was he had played 4 years in college. And we all know about the trend to take the freshmen and the hottest talents, and that's certainly not going to change.
Yeah, the guys with the most upside.
It's not going to change in the NBA. However, here was a guy who was number nine overall and has paid some dividends already for the Hornets, who, by the way, are in the seventh spot in the East. They moved up with the Bulls' loss last night, and they are actually number seven and definitely trying to make the playoffs. They traded for Courtney Lee, a good three-point shooter, because Michael Kidd-Gilchrist now is out, and torn labrum, the same shoulder that he hurt that put him out for most of the beginning of this season. So the Hornets are definitely trying to stay in that playoff mix. And, that'd be something for Kaminsky if he tastes the playoffs as a rookie.
Yeah, and as we mentioned in the last podcast, it's going to be tough for them because their schedule is very road-heavy compared to the Bucks, which is now home-heavy. Not saying the Bucks are their main competition, but it's just a fact that those two teams have kind of shifted the way their schedules look for the rest of the way. So the first of two trips back to Wisconsin for Frank Kaminsky.
Right, they will be back again. They will be back again in March, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Something like that.
So, and then, of course, Kobe, we'll be real interested to see him, and we'll have a report next week on how that goes, Matt, as far as the crowd reaction. We'll want to get into all that, Kobe's reaction, and, of course, Bucks fans, as we discussed on the last podcast, hoping that he will play here, play his regular minutes, as they have a back-to-back playing in Chicago on Sunday, but hopefully Kobe rested up during the break. You saw in the All-Star game, they didn't tax him too hard, and he took it easy and enjoyed it. I think he enjoyed all the tributes that he got, but just enjoyed being out there again for the last time in the All-Star game. So we'll be good to see him and the Lakers and their only visit. The Lakers' only visit is always well attended no matter what, but you can imagine this time it's going to be extra special.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just we've been talking about just among ourselves, it'll be special for us to go and cover the game and be part of that. And, there aren't very many players of Kobe's stature, in most sports. I mean, he's a worldwide phenomenon that, you just don't see, very often in a generation, regardless of sports. It'll be fun to see what he can do in this last visit to the Bradley Center.
Yeah, and no doubt Jason Kidd played against him many times, and we'll be talking to Jason a little bit more about Kobe here in the next few days. I know he's been getting questions already about Kobe, even though the Bucks have two games to play before that game. So that's how crazy it will be on Monday. So I guess, Matt, we're just looking at kind of what will the Bucks need to do in these final 28 games, in our view. We'll kind of finish with that tonight to say, hey, they're finishing on a high note. Where do you think they need to finish? Obviously they have 18 home games, 10 road games. You finish 18-10, that'd be very good.
But still one game under 500.
It still would not very likely put you in the playoffs. I read somewhere
below last season.
Yes. They could still equal last season with a big time run. Maybe if they go 20-8, then they could have a winning record, right? 42-40.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's going to take for a winning record, one game better than last season. That would be a heck of a record. Coach Kidd last night talked about, can they do better on the road? They have 10 road games, and they're really going to have to be 500 or better on the road and really win at home to make a run. You have to think. My thinking about why they may not make a run is the bench is just still such a problem. They've got injuries with Henson. Now Bayless is hurt. They just can't seem to get over this. And, this idea of tweaking the lineup to help the bench, it's worked for two games. I don't know how long it can work. And, over the long haul, they're going to need more than that. They didn't make changes to really help the bench at the deadline, and we talked about that earlier. But I think, you know, it's going to be tough the way I see it. I do see that this starting group in quotes.
Quote, unquote.
Quote, you get what I'm talking
about.
The
new one, the Plumlee Mayo, you know, Giannis.
No, I'm talking about the real starters.
Oh, the real starters.
The real starters who may not be actually starting the game. That group you do see starting to play better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the key thing for Bucks fans to watch. How does that group interact? How do they play together? That's going to be the key going forward, whenever they're on the court. And Rashad Vaughn, you know, is he going to get some more playing time off the bench? He's been promising. He could be part of this young core, too, with a little luck. He's 19. He's the youngest part of this young
right.
core. But, you know, he hasn't been added to the six. But could he join in that? And, again, he's on a rookie contract. Can he put himself to where he's in a more important position going forward and looking toward next year? So these are some of the things, I think, for Bucks fans to watch. But I'm pessimistic they can make a real strong run. They still have a lot of tough games. Oklahoma City, you know, there are they're playing. I know Chicago's been struggling, but you still have, that's your rival. You're playing Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing Indiana.
They got good Boston.
They got Boston twice. Boston's playing very well. So it will be interesting to see. What do you think, Matt, as far as what would you qualify as a success over this last stretch?
Oh, it's hard because you have to encapsulate this stretch in order to find success. Because if you look at it as on the larger context, I think people will be hard-pressed to find ways to define this season as a success. So if you're looking at the final 28 games, I think you got to at least get to 500.
In
order for I think, fans and viewers at large to say, all right, that was a successful run. That was fun. 19-9. Like
19-9,
that would be. You push forward. Well, whether you make the playoffs or not, I think people will be okay with it. They say, all right, well, you make the 8th spot, you get beat by the Cavs, ho-hum, you right. missed the lottery, whatever. But if you just missed the playoffs, but you play a fun brand of basketball where the team starts to gel, you're winning at home, you're kind of building a little bit of a buzz.
That might be the best of both worlds.
That's really what it is. And so, you know, yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, I think that would be, you know, kind of at the higher end of the, you know, closer to the ceiling.
Right.
You know.
Oh, I think so.
I think something more like it's more likely to be something like 16-12.
Right.
You know, putting them at
what
they
don't want is what they don't want is, I was looking it up last night in doing the story for Thursday's paper, 11-18. After the deadline, you remember the struggles they had
yes.
last season. And, you know, Kidd is even referenced. We came out flat after the All-Star break. And he'll be watching that closely tonight and in the next few games. So, you know, there's really no excuse for them to do that this year, in my view.
Right.
They haven't made the trade deadline.
And that's
deal.
One of the positives.
They haven't made the disruption.
That's one of the positives right. of doing nothing at the deadline. There's no shakeup. There's no acclimating to new personnel.
Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be.
The only personnel that – if there's new personnel with the Bucks, it should only be if they decide to cut somebody and bring in somebody new and try out guys on 10-day contracts,
right.
you know, because they could seemingly decide to
like
do that.
But right. But what they don't want to have happen is, you know, I looked it up, 33-50 since last year's trade deadline. And that, you know, that tells a lot. That tells a lot about their struggles incorporating all the young players. That tells a lot about some of the older players going. Tells about Jabari transitioning, MCW. It tells a lot, 33-50. What they say, you are what your record is, and that's what they are since
the
last deadline. But that doesn't mean that they've given up on these young guys as far as being potential to build a winning team. But that's what they're looking at now. Now it's getting a little more serious. Now...
Right, you get your time to make your statement, to show who you are, to show how you can adapt.
But you don't get forever.
You don't get forever.
It's not in this league.
No, not at all. I mean,
no.
And that's.
But it's good they didn't panic. It's good they didn't. I agree with that. It's good they didn't just make a move for the sake of making a move or put themselves in a bad financial situation. But
and that used to happen.
Correct.
I mean, that was
correct.
Something that during the Herb Cole years.
Yes, we've seen it.
We've seen it happen, and
so they're not doing that.
I think fans who didn't like the Herb Cole years and the way they just, you know, sell out for the 8 seed, they need to be patient. You can't have it both ways.
No.
You can't say, hey, don't sell out for the 8 seed, but also, why are you struggling?
Right.
Why are you, like, going through this process? It's okay. You can't have it both ways.
Right. And it'll be interesting to see in this building, you know, can they hang on to Monroe? Can they keep building? How many of these pieces will be there in the build? You know, they all won't be there.
No.
But how many will stay and be part of what they hope is a winner?
And then who they surround with those pieces that
Correct.
They decide to keep.
Correct. So, all right, Matt. Well, we are going to head off to the Bradley Center.
Yeah.
And it's been great doing this in the booth.
Yeah, it's been nice.
It's very nice. And I imagine in the next few weeks you'll be out covering Marquette on the road. I'll be either home or on the road. I'm going to be home more now, which is great. But we'll keep these podcasts coming through March, and we thank everybody for listening. I did see we had a couple questions, and we'll try to add them in for next week.
Yeah, maybe next week.
We got a little crazy this week with the trade deadline and with everything going on.
Maybe we'll solicit some questions for next week's podcast.
And we'll do
a Q&A.
Try to take a little more Q&A next week. I noted there were a couple in the hopper, and we're going to get to them.
Yeah, definitely. So between, you know, now and then, definitely keep reading our stuff, especially Charles, who covers the Bucks on a day-to-day basis on jsonline.com/bucks. And if you want to subscribe to his podcast, which is the easiest way to get it every week automatically on your phone or on your tablet, you can do that on iTunes or on Stitcher. And we will talk to you again next week.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.